It is the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast, here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, holding it down for us in New York City. Happy Friday to you. I hope you're good. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I'm going to be rolling with you for the next 2 hours. This is a 4-hour show. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We've already had a busy show. Talked about the 49ers and their injuries. Debo with an Achilles calf and Christian McCaffrey with an Achilles. We talked about the Cowboys and their injuries. Michael Parsons might be out for a month with an ankle sprain. DeMarcus Lawrence is dealing with a foot. If you got money on the Raiders, because why else would you be invested in the Raiders? Devontae Adams has a hamstring. Max Crosby dealing with an ankle. Man, football sucks, right? Man, all these injuries. Malik Nabers got a concussion. And I complain about my back hurting. Nobody hit me. If I had an NFL training regimen, I'd be good. Anyway, we got plenty more to get into. Thank you for listening. If you've missed a minute of the show, you can go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. You can always listen live on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, wherever you live. If you got Sirius, it's Sirius XM channel 158. And if you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. I would do a demonstration here in the studio right now, but my Siri is disrespectful. She is. Hickey, do you talk to your Siri?
I don't, no. I feel awkward.
What, talking to your Siri?
Yeah. Like, I was at the gym the other day, and I heard someone on the treadmill, like, talking to Siri to change a song. Hey, Siri, next song. She did it for, like, 5 songs in a row. Hey, Siri, next song. I couldn't do that. I feel weird.
You should have yelled at the, hey, lady, hit the button.
Just hit next like everybody else. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah. She's a lazy, person.
Well, I will say, she was sprinting on the treadmill, so.
Oh, okay.
But still no excuse.
Don't they have buttons for that? Like, can't you do that on the Apple Watch or something where you don't have to slow down? I don't know.
There's definitely enough technology somewhere to prevent you from screaming, hey, Siri, next song, like 5 in a row.
Oh, that's too, that Apple stuff is, like, that's too much for me. Do you have a watch, the Apple Watch? You have one?
No, I don't.
Yeah, that's too much for me. Like, I don't want to be that tapped in. Where now, like, I enjoy putting my phone down knowing that it's not going to ring because I'm telling it not to. I can't imagine having this thing strapped to my body. For what do I need? What do I need it for? To do what? Measure my blood? Like, what is that thing called? Not my blood. My blood pressure for what?
Heart rate.
No, I don't need that. Oh, my phone is going off. Oh, I got a text message. I don't need my wrist vibrating. No, thank you.
Plus, it gives you an excuse when you don't text someone back. Well, JR, it's on your wrist. How'd you not see it? Now you say, well, I don't have a Apple Watch. I couldn't see it. Put my phone down in the other room.
Everything is on silent. The Siri doesn't even say yes. Hey, Siri. She said, uh-huh. Did you hear her?
No, I didn't hear anything.
Yeah, well, she's here.
She's bashful.
She just, no, I said, hey, Siri. She goes, uh-huh.
Jeez, sassy.
I know, right? Not even yes.
What the hell do you want?
Like, hello, JR, how are you? How can I help you? Nothing.
It's a Friday night. What are you bothering me for?
Hickey, I lost the phone in the house a couple days ago.
Oh.
And I yelled. I said, hey, Siri. Be quiet. Not right now. You heard of that time, huh? You heard of that time?
That's funny.
Yeah. And she goes, I go, where are you? You know, she had the nerve to go, I'm here. Like, I know that. I'm trying to make some noise or something so I could just walk around the house and find you. You know, I just know where she was.
I'm here, dumbass. Come find me.
It's like, yeah, I know that. You're here. Good. That's just equally as bad. There was a video. Have you seen the self-driving cars yet? They don't have them in New York. Probably get stolen.
That's also true. No, I've not seen many videos of them yet.
I saw a video in San Francisco. Shout outs to everybody in the Bay of the Waymo cars. They drive autonomously. And so at night, when it's time to go back, and this reminds me of the movie iRobot, Well, all the robots at nighttime, they all just went back to the facility to charge, and it was creepy as hell. Looked like an army getting ready to kill you. All of the cars go back. They drive themselves to this open-air lot at the same time. And so you have, like, I don't know, 100 Waymo self-driving cars. They're all pulling into the lot at the same time. And the cars are designed, so the horn beeps if another car is in the way. And so you have all these cars with no humans in it, and they're trying to park. Like, one car is trying to parallel park and back up into the spot, and the other car is beeping. All these cars are honking at each other at like 3 a.m, and there's no driver in it.
That, could you imagine living near that? That would be a disaster.
I'm going to send you the clip. They did a whole news piece on this. The self-driving cars are all beeping and honking at each other. Because they're all, it's like going to the supermarket on Saturday morning. Like, everybody is just all tight and crammed up, and people are trying to get in and get out. Imagine this, but with no drivers, and the cars just programmed to honk if another car gets too close. So they did a whole news piece. Waymo says that they did one of these upgrades to the software, and now the cars don't honk anymore. I don't know.
Oh, so a software upgrade that's gone well.
Technology is good when it works, right?
Hmm.
It's all good till the self-driving cars try to take us out.
That's true. Okay. Till they see us and hit the gas.
I know, right? Hey, it may be coming. This is the first version, people. You thought them Chick-fil-A cars were delivering trucks with something. Wait until they start taking over and deciding to hit us. But anyway, let's think about something positive. In about 15 minutes, we're going to have a conversation with Pete Futek from College Football News. That'll be fun. Right now on the college football side, we have the U. Miami is beating Virginia Tech 14-7 down in Hard Rock Stadium. So that'll be fun. We know the big game tomorrow is Georgia at Alabama. But on the NFL side, you know, we talked about the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens going at it on Sunday night. Baltimore Ravens are trying to show that they have a whole lot more life left in their season. And here, meanwhile, you got the Buffalo Bills that are just trying to go out and let everybody know we're the cream of the crop. We might actually knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. That's to be seen. But we do have a grudge match. We have Minnesota, the Vikings. They're going to take on Green Bay. I love it. You got an NFC North matchup that you just die for. We know the Bears aren't good right now. If I had it my way, it'd be a three-way fight or match or game. No such thing. I'd throw the Lions in there if I could. But too bad. We got Aaron Jones, who is now a member of the Minnesota Vikings. After 7 years in Green Bay, he's going back to where it all got started. We know the Minnesota Vikings, they're a team on fire right now. Minnesota is 3-0. The Packers, well, Jordan Love is questionable. I think he'll play. Got to set things right. You got to give Minnesota its first loss. You have to send Sam Darnold back to reality. Aaron Jones, former Pro Bowler with the Packers. Aaron Jones, 19 touchdowns in 2019. I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves for how good of a running back he's been in his career. Guy's a dual threat. He can go out there and he can light it up. And a matter of fact, Aaron Jones talked about going back to Green Bay and hoping that he gets one of these famous Lambo leaps. He says he's excited to go back where his career started.
I'm definitely excited to go back. That's where it all started for me. Just a moment of gratitude, a full circle moment, you know, and just, like I said, take a moment and thank God for everything. So far in this football career, without him, I wouldn't have been there. Without God, I wouldn't be here. So just a moment of thanks, really.
Okay. Life is all about balance. That's nice. That was so sweet. Now I got to get to some trash talk. Like Jair Alexander trying to push the buttons of one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the game. He's paid like he's the best, $35 million a year. Justin Jefferson. And Justin Jefferson said, you know, Jair Alexander, one of the highest paid corners in the game, nothing that he says, nothing that he does is going to faze me.
He reminds me of my big brother. That always just try to knick-knack at every little thing and just try to play the head game, just try to hit you a little extra or try to, you know, push you a little extra than normal people do. But I understand that it's a tactic. You know, it's a tactic to get inside my head and to mess up my game plan and what I'm doing. But it doesn't really work.
Yeah, we got the best versus the best. Got the best versus the best here. I'm going to go especially. I think Jordan Love is going to play. Like, this is a statement game. Jordan Love was questionable last week, and I don't know if he has the Wolverine regenerative healing powers, but come on now, if he's healthy enough to go, they're going to put him out there, and I think that they will. Because I think the Packers want to send the message that, yeah, Minnesota, you might be 3-0, and yeah, Sam Darnold might look like the new kid on the block. Maybe he sucked on the Jets and the Panthers, but he's in a good situation now with Justin Jefferson. This is a statement game for the Panthers. Excuse me, the Packers, not the Panthers. They suck. Jordan Love is making $55 million a year. These are the type of games where you go out and you earn it. Matt LaFleur, he was asked about Jordan Love and his status, and of course, he didn't want to fully disclose everything. Listen.
Every day is a new day, and we'll see, you know, how he's responded throughout the course of the week and see where we're at.
So not to rephrase Bill's question, but do you know what you're doing, and you just, and I respect your right to not tell us, but do you know what you're doing and you're not telling us, or do you not really know what you're doing at this point?
I never know what I'm doing. Just flying by the seat of my pants.
I am curious if you are encouraged by what you saw from him throughout the course of the week in his limited capacity.
I think any time he's out there, I mean, that's encouraging. So, but again, we'll see.
Beautiful answer. I love that answer. Do you know what you're doing? No, I don't know what I'm doing. Hickey, you know what you're doing at work right now?
No idea.
Me neither. I don't know.
Flying by the seat of our pants, both of us.
You don't know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. How do we get on there? I don't know. It showed up and things kind of just poof, just happened. I know that is his favorite reporter. I don't know who that guy is, but I'm being sarcastic. I know he hates his guts. Do you know what you're doing and you just don't want to tell us? No, I don't know anything. All right. I'm just here collecting a check. I don't even know where the money goes. I'm Shohei Ohtani. I don't know nothing. Just get paid. I don't know where the money goes. Kevin O'Connell, he talked about his quarterback. No doubt that Sam Darnold is going to be out there. And Kevin O'Connell, he was on Rich Eisen's show. And he was talking about the evolution of his quarterback. And, you know, now he's on a good team. He's a good quarterback. He's a bad quarterback on a bad team. He talked about that dynamic. Listen.
I just think as a whole, there's not enough emphasis put on the organization's role in the development of the position. Meaning, I do believe this, Rich. I believe that organizations fail young quarterbacks before young quarterbacks fail organizations. And that's not... there's no specific example in my mind that I could give you of a team or a quarterback, but just overall 30,000 foot view, I think it's important to understand that every single one of these guys is on a journey, a very difficult journey, that they need the support, they need the teammates around them, they need the systems in place to ultimately try to maximize who they are.
Kevin O'Connell is hilarious. Kevin O'Connell in the most political way possible. He just said the New York Jets suck. That's what he said. Kevin O'Connell just said, nah, I don't have no specific. I know we're talking about my current quarterback in Sam Darnold. I know he used to play for the New York Jets. That's who drafted him at number 4. Hey, I know he played for Carolina, but that was just a cup of coffee. That was already a disaster. Yeah, but I'm not telling you the New York Jets developmental system stinks, but I am. Now, that's some funny coach speak. Kevin O'Connell, a former quarterback in the NFL. Kevin O'Connell, an offensive coordinator. Kevin O'Connell, a head coach. He knows what the hell he's talking about. You don't think Sam Darnold feels much more comfortable in a room with him, a guy who played QB in the league? And oh yeah, by the way, wasn't a star, but is respected all the way around? Now that's the type of shade I like being thrown. Next time, call him out. Oh, no, don't do that. Then he'd be Sean Payton. Sean Payton is a full-on jerk. Calling out Nathaniel Hackett. Left me the worst pile of crap to coach I've ever had in my life. Not his words, mine. Hey, good luck to the Minnesota Vikings. I think Jordan Love is going to play. He's going to be welcomed back with open arms, and fans in Green Bay are going to be thrilled. And I think the Packers are going to beat the Minnesota Vikings at home, handing Minnesota its first loss on the season. 3-0 is done. Welcome to 3-1. I think just Jordan Love being back in the building is going to be enough to take the Packers over the hump. The Packers move to 3-1. Minnesota falls to 3-1. And that's the game that I really plan on watching outside of the night game with the Bills and the Ravens. I'm going to take the Ravens at home, too. I think they're going to run right through them. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're going to talk some active football. We got some college football going on right now down in Miami. We have more college football taking place over the weekend. We're going to get into that on the other side of the break as Pete Futek joins us from collegefootballnews.com. Happy Friday. Yeah, it's Friday. Football and Friday both start with the letter F. I learned that on Sesame Street. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
The JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast here on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, it's Friday night, but we already got college football. We had college football last night, sorry, Temple. And we got college football right now. We got Miami and Virginia Tech down at Hard Rock. Miami already leading 14-7. We got the big game tomorrow between Alabama and Georgia. We got some ranked teams going at it as well. I don't think any other players have quit their teams as of today. So we got a lot to talk about. And joining us right now is someone who covers and knows all things college football. It is Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Oh, those guys leaving are coming. That's happening in the near future. That's going to have to be part of the cake that's going to be baked in college sports going forward. But I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Well, I'm very well, thank you. So let me ask you about this. We know Matt Sluka is gone. Said, yep, they didn't pay me my money. I'm leaving UNLV.
Yep.
What prevents this in the future? Do we need federal regulation? The NCAA obviously isn't going to step in. What prevents this? Anything?
Paying them, like doing it. Like, look, there's no regulation here, which is the problem. It's not like you have a a professional league where you have collective bargaining and contracts, and you know, this is all so murky that it is really just, you know, it's like old school, you know, it's like the NFL. It's like you got this, you know, you hear all these stories about these Hall of Fame players for the Green Bay Packers would go into Vince Lombardi's office and say, I want to be paid $15,000 a year and raise me up from $13,000. And Wood said no, and you know, like it's just the craziest type of thing. But look, you know, it's the other weird part that everyone has to kind of get used to is the players are right. Look, this is, they're entertainers. This is a multi-billion-dollar business. Everyone's making money. This is not some just, you know, quirky after-school activity that these guys are doing. They are entertainers. And if they are promised money of some sort, then that's got to kind of be the deal. Now, this Sluka thing's murky on several levels. But the whole idea of, oh, he's quitting on his team. Oh, these aren't, you know, this is a business. These aren't soldiers going into war or something. They're guys who are entertaining. And just wait. Come bowl season, what are we going to get? We're going to get all these coaches who are leaving their teams for better jobs during the bowls. Did they quit on their teams for the bowls? Yes. And they're doing it because they're going to go make a lot more money somewhere else. And it's just kind of how this world's going to have to work now, and everyone's going to have to kind of get used to it.
And Pete Futek is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, coast to coast. Let's talk about another quarterback. And Hickiet and I have had conversations about, well, two quarterbacks down in Texas, Quinn Ewers and then also Arch Manning. We know Arch still has some room to grow. Quinn Ewers just has to go out there and stay healthy. They take on Mississippi State. You would think that this is just a game in the bag. If Quinn is ready to go, do you want to see Arch in this game, or is that even still too risky against Mississippi? Just put Quinn back out there.
Mississippi State's awful. I still play Arch, and you give yours this week, and they have next week off, and then it's Oklahoma, and then the tougher part of the schedule kicks in. This is the luxury here. Give him time to heal. You know, just give your that's why these coaches do get paid the tens of millions of generational wealth dollars, is just make the call. You have to evaluate your talent, but make sure in a long season, because, you know, it's faster than, you know, baseball or the NBA or anything like that. But, you know, it's a longer season this year, because if you're winning the national championships January 20th, so we got a long way to go. Keep your guys healthy. And if you have the luxury of giving Quinn Ewers another 2 weeks off to heal up that abdominal injury so he's closer to 100%, then you do it. And because you've got Arch Manning there, and that's, you're going to be just fine with him.
Well, Pete, there was a lot of talk heading into the season about Quinn Ewers and Carson Beck. These are some of the early candidates for the Heisman. We got a guy balling out right now in Miami, Cam Ward, who's already thrown for another two touchdowns tonight. Arguably is playing like the best QB in college football right now. What are your thoughts on what Cam Ward and the U have been able to do so far this season?
Well, it's nice, but this is the only time anybody's ever going to watch him again. I mean, Miami just does not play that great a schedule. So if you look forward, the Florida State game is not anything big. They don't play Clemson. So until we get to the ACC championship potentially, this might be the only time America watches Cam Ward. And so it's going to be kind of a stats thing with him. But he's not doing it in these big, giant games. Wait and see. Let's see what Jalen Milroe does tomorrow. Last year, I know we had to all vote for Jaden Daniels. I have a Heisman vote and all that. But Jalen Milroe actually last year deserved it. He had the play of the year with his throw against Auburn. He had the game of the year with his performance in the win over Georgia. And he was better than Jaden Daniels in the head-to-head versus LSU, and his stats were good enough. And now he's in an offense that just bombs away. So if he's really, really good tomorrow, they don't even have to win. I mean, this might be the first of three matchups between Georgia and Alabama. So as long as he's really good, I kind of think he is the one who's got to be the favorite for this thing, because he's just playing in bigger games. Whereas Cam Ward, he's playing the Virginia Techs, and, you know, the ACC is nice. It's just not the same as doing it up big in the SEC or even the Big Ten.
Pete Futek is joining us from collegefootballnews.com, talking about that game tomorrow between Georgia and Alabama. That's the big one that the country's going to tune in on. We saw what happened last year in the SEC championship game, Alabama winning and ultimately pushing Georgia out of the playoff. Georgia, the offense has been kind of slow. We know they're missing some key pieces that are now in the NFL. What are your thoughts on what the Bulldogs look like and where they can go outside of that great defense?
But they do this. Remember a couple years ago, it took week three, Kent State, they might have had a lead on them in the fourth quarter. But it was like, Kent State is pushing Georgia? And what did Georgia do? They won, they moved on, and ended up beating TCU 155-1 in the national championship. You know, there were a couple years there where, uh-oh, look out, you know, Missouri's got them beat, until they didn't. You know, what do they do in this Kentucky game? Wasn't pretty. They survived in advance, but okay. Let's see, what got really forgotten fast is they just absolutely destroyed Clemson in the second half of that opener. What has Clemson done since? Granted, they've played, I think it's Appalachian State and NC State, which is pretty good. They have gone off. That offense has been absolutely unstoppable over the next week. That's the team. I know we're all in love with Miami now. Clemson's the best team probably in the ACC, and Georgia shut them down cold. It's a focus thing. I will be shocked if we don't see, you know, playoff Georgia here, where this team just kind of rises up to the moment, and we're like, yeah, everyone's doubting us, and then they just unleash what they do. I think Georgia pulls this off, but again, this might be the first of three between these guys, because Alabama's just that good.
Well, Pete, let's look at a guy or a team that's not going to the playoff, but we hear about the coach and the team because the coach is complaining about everybody. I'm talking about Hugh Freeze over at Auburn. We know Peyton Thorne is going to get the start at quarterback. Is Hugh Freeze, is he ready to just, like, run away from Auburn or get the boot? Like, what's his deal? Complaining about everything.
He made his bones because Ole Miss beat Nick Saban a couple times. And so SEC fans had it in their head, this guy is the guy who can beat Alabama and Nick Saban. And he has got this. He's an SEC coach. He is what we want. And when he was at Liberty kind of paying his penance after all the fallout from the problems at Ole Miss, everyone's like, okay, just wait until he gets back here. Just wait till he gets back to the SEC. Everyone wanted him.
and it's just not working. They're just not getting anything out of this offense. Their defense has been all right, but they just can't get that O going yet. But you're right. I mean, they're going to have to really fight and claw to get to a bowl game this year because he's just not getting the job done quite yet. And that's going to be life in the SEC now. I mean, it's just going to be hard because with all those good teams, someone's got to lose. So, yes, okay, you get Texas and Oklahoma. Yay! Ask Oklahoma how hard this is going to be going forward. It is not easy. I mean, now, some teams miss all the big teams. Like, look at Texas A&M's schedule, and they seem to somehow miss everybody. But then others have to play, like, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee, you know, Alabama. You know, so Auburn just so happens to have a bad combination of a mediocre team and a rough schedule.
Yeah, man. You talk about all these new teams that are hopping now into the SEC. I'm looking at the Pac-12, the Pac-6, Pac-8. People are stealing teams, and people are suing conferences for stealing teams. It's becoming difficult to keep up. I have to put a chart together about where everybody's going and moving around. What conference is not going to exist in a few years, Pete? Somebody has to disappear.
And let's go back to the original part, what we first talked about up top, where we got exit fees, and we've got all these business decisions, and we got these multi-billion-dollar TV deals, and we got it's business. And so we're asking, why are these players wanting their cut? Well, here's why, because it's a business. And they figured out how to make money doing this somehow. So we're going to still have the same conferences that we've had, because the other part that's kind of being underplayed here, they're just going to keep adding schools. So, like, a North Dakota State's going to get in the mix somehow. Sacramento State is making a big push to upgrade their facilities. And some of these other schools that have been pretty good at the FCS level, they're all of a sudden going to start to populate more. So instead of having 134 major FBS college football teams, in the near future we'll have, like, 140-ish, 145. And so they'll just have more and more of them. And, look, sometimes it works. I mean, look at how good James Madison has been so far. You know, Liberty went from nothing to this. You know, Jacksonville State in their first year went to a bowl game and was really good. So, you know, some of these programs are really good. They're not going to be Big Ten or SEC, but there's enough to have, like, decent-level college football happening on in these conferences.
There was a report, Pete, that the SEC and the Big Ten or are planning a meeting to think about a revamped playoff this and a revamped that. Are we looking at any type of consolidation in the future?
If it were to happen, it would be to try to get more teams. They're going to expand to 16. They got it right with 12. It's a good number. If you can't get everyone in, you have to earn your way in. It's still a fight. That's enough. You're not being like baseball where everybody gets in. You know, or you know, hockey where everyone gets in. NBA is the worst actually because you have something crazy like 68% or 70% of the teams actually make the playoff if you count the play-in. This is a good number. They're going to expand to 16, and they're probably going to expand that further out from there because all the Big Ten and SEC want more teams in the playoff system, which I don't really like that much. I think the expanded playoff is good because it gives more teams an opportunity. You're allowed to spill. You're allowed to have a miss. But you don't want the sixth seed. You don't want this to be the NCAA basketball tournament where you know, you finish eighth in your conference, you get hot for a few games, and all of a sudden you're in the Elite Eight and you've had a great season. You have to have some worth at the end to make the regular season count and matter more. But this whole idea that they're going to just run away and form their own, like, mini NFL and stuff, it's not going to happen for the exact reasons that we just talked about, where not everyone can win. And so if you look back at the 2020 season, for example, when the COVID year, when it was all SEC versus SEC, all Big Ten versus Big Ten, only five teams in the SEC ended up with winning records because everyone had to play Alabama. Everyone had to play Georgia. So the South Carolinas and Kentuckys and Mississippi States of the world, if you go to an all SEC Big Ten format, you've got all these big giant schools with really rich alumni whose schools are never, ever, ever going to play for anything again, as is with the lack of divisions in the SEC and Big Ten. Everyone forgets, we had Iowa and Purdue. We're in the last two Big Ten championships. That's never, ever going to happen ever again.
Well, thank God for Iowa. I like to see some offense and some scoring every now and then, so I wouldn't mind that. Hey, Pete, let me ask you that. Speaking of the playoff, we got about four teams that are trying to fight their way in, even though it's still kind of early. You know, Oklahoma State, I don't know what the hell is going on with Ollie Gordon. They're taking on Kansas. And then Notre Dame has Louisville, and I still don't have a clear idea on who Notre Dame is. What are some other games or matchups that we should pay attention to tomorrow?
Yeah, you kind of hit the big ones. I mean, you're right. Notre Dame versus Louisville, everyone's going to care about Alabama. This is one of those ones where if you look at Notre Dame's schedule, if you're a playoff team, you got to take this one down at home. Louisville's good, but they're not. It's again not like playing Georgia or Bama. You know, so if you're Notre Dame, you've got to pull this off because that Northern Illinois loss from before doesn't give them a whole lot of wiggle room the rest of the way because their schedule is just not good enough until they play USC at the very end of the rainbow here. So that's one of those games where. Like you said, Notre Dame probably wins, and we're still not quite sure exactly what they are. And that's the other part of this new college football playoff that's going to make this fun, is get to the conference championships. Because conference championship weekend is going to be huge, because that's a playoff game. Because you win your Power Four conference championship, you're in the playoff. So you got to get there first, which makes right. Kansas State versus Oklahoma State a giant deal, because both of those teams... You know, we're right there with Utah at the beginning of the season as the favorites to win the Big 12. Well, the loser of this is probably out, and we just, you know, we're not even to October yet, you know, after both of them lost last week. So that Kansas State-Oklahoma State's going to have a whole other level of just intensity and effort in that one because, you know, all of a sudden you lose that one and you're 0-2 in the Big 12. That's a big problem.
Yeah, well, we got some good matchups to have. We got a good one on right now. I see Virginia Tech just tied it up following an interception by Cam Ward. 14-all.
Oh, there goes Heisman. That's over.
Oh, well, yeah, that one interception did it in. Hey, Pete, do us a favor. Where can people follow you and all of your work at collegefootballnews.com?
Exactly, collegefootballnews.com. All the picks and predictions going up. Did the weather reports today. I've never done that one before, but
uh-oh.
It was so crazy with the hurricane where you have here's the funky one of the week is that I don't think Stanford is at Clemson yet. Like they had to fly all the way across the country. Their flight got delayed this morning because of the hurricane, and they're going to get there at the very last second to deal with that Clemson team. So there's a lot of crazy things going on right now. Thanks to Mother Nature kind of screwing things up for our college football weekend here.
All of those nerds couldn't figure out a way to get out to South Carolina? Come on now.
You'd think they would. You'd think that those – well, actually, they couldn't figure out that, you know what, they played Syracuse last week and then flew home and now have to fly 3,000 miles back across the country.
Well, classes. You know? They have to go to school. Of course, school.
Oh, it's all online now. All these kids take their classes online anyway. Just you know, hang out, you know, hang out at a Starbucks somewhere and take your classes there, and be fine.
Hey, Pete Futek, thank you so much for joining. We'll catch you on down the line, okay?
Absolutely. Have a great night.
A pleasure. That Pete Futek from collegefootballnews.com. Who would have the college football players go to class? Wow. Who would have thought that? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break when we come back on the other side. Speaking of going somewhere, Magic Johnson, he has an idea as to where Bronny James should go. And Bronny James can't go back to college. I'll tell you where.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network, coast to coast. Thank you to Pete Futek for joining us from collegefootballnews.com. Coming through in the last break to educate us on everything we need to pay attention to this weekend in college football. Right now, Miami and Virginia Tech, they are still tied at 14-all down in Miami Gardens, Florida. I need you to think. O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. As we did so much talking about college football, I did mention Bronny James. Just came out of USC. Is now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers with his dad, LeBron. New head coach of this team is already talking about how I am going to take into account the first and best moment for Bronny and LeBron to play. I don't know if J.J. Redick needs somebody to kind of tap him on the shoulder and say there's better things to think about, but we'll talk about LeBron in a bit and Bronny in Magic Johnson's words. And then also, to the shock of no one, the WNBA has crowned a new Rookie of the Year. Can you guess who she is? And we'll get to that at the top of the hour as well. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Cliff is calling from Buffalo. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Cliff?
JR. You remember me from yesterday, Cliff? Buffalo? Buffalo
yeah,
Bill?
We yeah, talked. Cliff, turn your radio down in the back.
My bad.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey,
yes.
Listen, I'm up here listening to you,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, see how respectful I was to you yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Respectful young man, right?
Who, me or you? Yeah, I got
no,
you. Go ahead.
Me. I'm go talking ahead. Me, buddy.
Okay, go
now,
ahead.
Now, listen.
Yeah.
Now, I got to check you on something. You can get, you're going to be upset, but that's what
upset.
You get paid for.
Okay.
Pardon?
I said upset? What do we get upset for?
Okay, cool. Well, let me just say this. Now, I listened to you when you mentioned the Buffalo. Remember, you instead of saying the Bills first, you said the Ravens first. I mean, we should get that much respect, because don't forget, we beat them the last couple of times. So even though we're visiting them, it should be Bills first. And here's the weird thing. How did you jump to Minnesota and Green Bay? Man, you stayed on them for a while. You came back to us for a hot minute, mentioning the Ravens first again. Come on now. Come on, man. Give us a little bit of respect. Come on. Come on, JR. Come on, man. I have to bring that out. You just, I mean, and the way you said roll on it. You come on now. That's your opinion. That's what you get paid for. But when
you're
you
right.
say things like that, I have to check you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Cliff.
Check first, you, man.
Well, thank you. First, I'm not upset. I don't think anybody could call me and make me upset. There's better
That's
things in life
speech.
Going on.
Go ahead.
Now, I got you. Man,
go
we
ahead.
Talk, and I said the same thing to you last night. We talk about Buffalo and the Ravens all the time because they are good teams. They get the majority of our airtime when it comes down to it. We're going to be talking about Buffalo and maybe probably the Ravens all the way from now into January. And so to talk about teams that are surprising, why not show some love to the Minnesota Vikings, who aren't expected to do a whole lot at the end of the year? And then the same thing for the Packers, who, by the way, are returning a young quarterback who's going to be making $55 million a year and has been lighting it up in the NFL since the end of last year and surprised
right.
a lot of people.
Right.
Is it?
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's it.
But I mean, the way you said that, yeah, the Ravens, they're going to beat them. Are they going to roll all of them? Come on. That's just your opinion. Right?
Well,
am I right or wrong?
Well,
that's
everything.
100%.
Well, hold on. Newsflash, Cliff. Newsflash. Prepare yourselves. Everybody, listen. Wait a second. If I say something, it's my opinion. Whoa, mind blowing. Come on, Cliff. Come on.
Oh, okay. So now, just say, out of all due respect, the Buffalo Bills rolled on them,
Cliff, to be clear.
Okay.
I didn't say roll on them.
Yes,
I said,
you did. Yes.
I did not. I said run all over them.
Correct. Okay.
Okay. As in the running game. As in I believe, and this is why I said the Ravens first, because they are the ones at home, and I believe that they will get a victory by utilizing their rushing attack with Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson. That's all I said. And of course that's my opinion.
Okay.
What a mind shock. It came out of my mouth from my brain. That's what I believe.
Okay. Now, out of all due respect, and I'm going to let you go.
I hope.
But suppose it's to the contrary where Lamar Smith or Henry aren't able to do what you just said. Then what when I call you next week?
Cliff, let me explain something.
Okay.
Cliff.
All right.
Are you listening to me very carefully?
Yes, sir.
I have an opinion.
No, I respect that.
Well, no. Listen, don't say anything. Just listen.
Okay.
I'm not one of these dumbasses on the radio or TV or the internet who says something and believes it's law. I'm not done. Listen, I'm not someone who says something and has to die on the cross for my opinion about a sports game. Do you know how many things in life I have said and have been wrong about? All I can do is provide an educated opinion on what I believe to happen. And if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. I do not give a damn. What do I care for?
All right.
The sun is going to shine tomorrow. I do not care. I'm not getting paid. What do I care for? I guess, is that shocking? I mean, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. You can call me. I'll tell you I was wrong. I'm also not dumb enough to think that Buffalo can't win. I think we should have a good game. It's close. Right. These are two great teams. What's the big deal? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. What do I care for?
Okay, all right.
I get paid the same amount of money. I don't lose nothing. I don't get a bonus for being right or wrong. I don't care.
Okay. I just wanted to just mention that to you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Much more important things. Hey, Cliff, we're up against the break. Just call me back on Monday, okay? Call me back.
Okay, brother. Thank you.
Thank you, Cliff. Like, what do I care? If the Buffalo Bills win, what am I going to do, cry to sleep? Oh, my God, Cliff is going to tell me I was wrong. Oh, no, I'll tell myself I'm wrong. It's the JR Sport Brief Show. Don't move. I'll tell you who the WNBA Rookie of the Year is, not you.